This is Andrew Brewer from Onion River Sports, and I'm here to invite you to a very special event. We're celebrating 40 years, and lest anybody think I founded Onion River, no, I didn't start Onion River when I was 8 years old. But I did spend a lifetime growing up there, and 40 years is a long time. Onion River Sports was founded in 1974 by Warren Kitzmiller, of course, and a guy named Jack Nash. We're going to have a major throwdown on Langdon Street, June 28th, from 7 to 11 o'clock at night. We're going to have the Banana Seats with Jay Ekus, kind of an 80s cover band lineup. One of our own employees, Greg's been with us for well over 10 years. He's going to be the drummer for that band, so that's going to be a lot of fun. And then at 9 o'clock, Madman 3, and they are loud and rocking. They're a great dance band, so we invite everybody to come on down. Our friends at McGillicuddy's and Three Penny are going to be serving refreshments. They're each going to have their own cordoned off area, and kind of the middle of the street's going to be free for dancing. And we're going to have a lot of fun down on Langdon Street, June 28th. Come on down and help us celebrate our 40th anniversary.
Mark Johnson Show rolls on Radio Vermont, WDEV, locally owned and operated. John Walters in for the vacationing Mark Johnson. I don't know where on the globe he is, but I'm sure he's having a relaxing time and will come back refreshed and recharged for another season of political shenanigans and everything else that goes on in Vermont. 244-1777 or toll-free 1-877-291-8255 if you'd like to join us. Coming up after the top of the hour, we'll be talking with State Representative Chris Pearson, a progressive from Burlington. Mark Johnson is in Denmark. I am informed. Okay. I don't know much about Denmark, so I'm not going to try to say anything intelligent about that. Well, I hope he's having fun. In any case, State Representative Chris Pearson, he's the head of the Progressive Party Caucus in the House. He'll be talking about the progs in the 2014 election and beyond. But right now we're joined by Carrie Brown of the Vermont Commission on Women, the Executive Director of the Commission on Women. She is just back from President Obama's White House Summit on Working Families, discussing the issues facing families as they try to balance work and home life, which seems to get harder and harder every day. Carrie, good morning.
Good morning.
You just flew in last night, and boy, are your arms tired, I bet.
Yes.
I see these kinds of events all the time on the news, encapsulated in a soundbite and a photo op. Mm-hmm. What really goes on at something like this?
Oh, lots of sound bites and lots of photo ops, actually. It was fantastic, but it was definitely not a policy-making kind of event. Mm-hmm. It was really an opportunity to raise awareness, to continue conversation, to get people energized. And it did that. There were 1,200 people there, not including the hundreds of reporters and Secret Service and everybody else who was there. And so it was a day full of politicians and advocates and business people and just ordinary interested citizens talking about the need for workplaces that support families and policies and laws and practices that businesses can take that can make it easier for people to combine their work life and their family life.
As I understand it, there were a variety of sessions on a variety of topics. Was there anything in particular that you focused your attention and time on?
Well, I was able to hear some people talk about compensation was one of the topics that was really broadly speaking to people not getting paid enough and the need for higher wages. That was a theme that came up throughout the day, along with need for paid leave, for flexible workplaces, and for just employers being able to accommodate people's family responsibilities.
Okay, it sounds like a laundry list of hitting employers
Yes.
over the head there.
Yeah, well.
Make the case for that not only as a way to help families, but also as a way to maybe make the economy function better.
Sure. You know, a lot of employers were there, lots and lots of businesses were there, and were showcased as talking about how it's good for the bottom line. And that was a phrase that came up over and over again. But it's really true that the workplaces that recognize that when you allow people to take care of their family responsibilities as well as take care of their job, you're going to get stronger employees, they're going to be more loyal, they're going to stay with you, they're going to work harder for you. And we heard both from the employer and the employee side that that really is true. It sounds good, but it really is true. And so the employers that are able to do things like let somebody come in early and leave early so that they can accommodate their childcare schedule, they will get more loyalty out of that employee and oftentimes better work. You know, there was a study recently that looked at telecommuting and did a kind of a scientific attempt anyway at a study of looking at some people who are allowed to work at home one day a week and the same group of people from the same employer who weren't allowed to do that. And the people who worked at home were actually more productive. And so it kind of counteracts these stereotypes that if you're home, you know, you're doing the dishes and you're listening to music and you're taking care of your kids and you're not getting your work done. But in fact, when people are given the support they need to combine those two things, they really kind of double down and do their best.
Well, they're not constantly worried about the kid who might be sick at home.
Right.
Whatever.
Yeah, that could be, yeah.
And another, you know, liberal policy argument here, but if people get a living wage, they dump it right back into the economy and
right.
They can buy more stuff.
They spend their money on all those other businesses that are paying their employees a living wage. There's just more money to go around.
But we have this trap where each individual business is making its own decisions based on its own bottom line. And,
right.
And that doesn't seem to benefit not only the broader society and working families, but also the broader economy. I mean, one of the reasons we're kind of still in the doldrums after the Great Recession is that a lot of people just don't have enough money, particularly mm-hmm. to buy something like a car or a house.
Right, right. Well, and so that's where policy changes like raising the minimum wage requiring everyone to give paid sick days or paid family and medical leave kind of lift the whole tide and lift everybody up. And so if all employers are providing paid sick days, then the ones who are not at a financial disadvantage in competition with the other ones who are not. And if everyone's paying a living wage, then the employers that are paying more aren't at a disadvantage.
244-1777 or toll-free 1-877-291-8255. Mark Johnson Show speaking with Carrie Brown, the executive director of the Vermont Commission on Women, just back from the White House Summit on Working Families. What did you take from the summit that you're bringing back to your work in Vermont?
Well, you know, President Obama used the summit as an opportunity to make a couple of announcements, one of which is that he's going to start requiring federal workplaces to give their employees the right to request flexible working arrangements. So this is something that is in the what's called the Paycheck Fairness Act, which is a bill that's been sitting in Congress for a long time and is not going anywhere. But this is something that we passed in Vermont last year as part of a package of equal pay laws. And what it does is it gives employees the right to ask for that schedule change so that they can pick their kid up every Tuesday at 3 instead of leaving at 5 or whatever, for example. And the employer doesn't have to grant it. They can say, no, that's not going to work for us, but they do have to consider it. They have to discuss it. They have to respond. And so this is one of the things that he's done with a presidential memorandum that kind of helps catch some parts of the country up to Vermont a little bit. And so that's affirming, I think, to what we're doing in Vermont. And then he also spoke about the need for passing the Paycheck Fairness Act, which would strengthen the equal pay law at the federal level, which is something that we also, again, already did in Vermont, would allow people to inquire about each other's wages, which is something we did in 2013 in Vermont.
Did you spend the whole day bragging?
Yeah, I tried to. I tried to. And, you know, but at the same time, there was a report that came out yesterday from the Institute for Women's Policy Research that said they kind of gave everybody grades, all the states' grades on family-friendly workplaces, and we got a C+. So we have some ways to go, including paid sick days, including paid leave. And this is another thing that the president spoke about. We need paid maternity leave. Every other developed country in the world has it. We're the only ones who don't. This is shameful. At the same time, there is a bill in Congress that would provide that, which he didn't mention, because it would involve some increase in taxes. And so there we get into this kind of sticky political dynamic of we want to be able to provide benefits, but we don't want to raise taxes. So, well, and that's obviously a conversation that we have in Vermont as well.
Yes. Well, I guess if Vermont has been first in all these things, then how come we only got a C plus? Aside from paid sick leave, what else is dragging us down?
Well, paid family leave.
Yeah.
So California, New Jersey, and Rhode Island all have a structure for paid family leave, which is entirely employee funded. It's a premium that you pay out of your payroll tax, out of your payroll, your paycheck, excuse me, like unemployment insurance. And so that's something that the last summer there was a study committee formed by the legislature that came up with a proposal for a similar kind of structure in Vermont. So there's a proposal out there. There was a bill introduced last session, so that's something that I'm sure will be talked about again.
Yeah, the bill got, if I'm remembering this right, that bill got very close to passage and then kind of got sidetracked by the discussion of minimum wage.
Well, that was paid sick days. Right. Yeah. Paid sick days made it through the House General Military Affairs Committee, and then it got kind of stalled. And I don't know if it was sidetracked by a minimum wage or if they, I'm not really sure what happened there, but we got minimum wage passed, so that was good.
I had an interesting conversation a little while ago with my mail carrier, who, it turns out, Vermont's a small place.
Yes.
She and her husband own the Dairy Cream in Montpelier.
Oh.
Hey.
One of my favorite places to take my kids.
And she was actually listening to the Mark Johnson Show as she dropped off my mail. And she was talking about the minimum wage increase and complaining about the effect it would have on their business, specifically because they do employ a lot of teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
And she thought that maybe there should be an exception for underage workers or beginning workers or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Was that anything that was ever talked about?
And a lot of people who testified on that bill made the point that it's easy to assume that a young person is working for pocket money, for extras to buy money to play with, but they're not necessarily. A lot of them they're in college or they're heading to college. They have car insurance payments of their own. They have actual financial need.
They have teen mothers.
Right, exactly. They could be supporting families of their own for all we know.
Yeah. Well, that's true. What's on the agenda for you, aside from advancing the paid leave, coming out of this Working Families Summit and your work on the Commission on Women?
Well, we'll just continue our conversations that we have been having for 50 years, literally.
not you personally.
No, not me personally, but we started in 1964, and in 1964, the wage gap between men and women was one of the primary issues that the commission worked on when it was 59 cents. For women made 59 cents for every dollar men made. Now, nationally, it's 77 cents. So it's improved, but it's kind of slowing down. So women's economic issues are always at the core of what we talk about, what we do.
Yeah. 244-1777, toll-free 1-877-291-8255. The Mark Johnson Show. I'm John Walters, sitting in today for Mark with Carrie Brown, Executive Director of the Vermont Commission on Women, just back from the White House Summit on Working Families. And Bill from Middlebury joins us this morning. Hello, Bill.
Hi. I'm not sure. I got a kind of bad connection right now.
We can hear you.
Okay. When I was a kid, I used to be a gas attendant. I don't notice any more of those around anymore. Do you?
Gas attendant, somebody who comes out and pumps your gas at the gas station.
Check your oil, wash your windshield.
All that good stuff.
You give the kid the quarter, everybody's happy. Guy sells a quarter of oil, check your tires, everything, right? That job doesn't exist because of what reason?
Well, I have a feeling you're going to tell me.
I'm going to tell you, they just said, can't afford to pay the guy, pay for the gas. Once again, gasoline was 25 cents a gallon at that point in time, too.
Mm-hmm.
But the folks that have the Dairy Queen, those creamy shops, what they're going to be doing is they're going to be turning the machine around, pointing at the customer, telling them to pick up a cone and fill their own. You're going to see automation. You're going to see this happening. It's already happening.
Mm-hmm.
One of the national chains, I believe, and I can't ever pronounce the name, Pantera, is it? Something like that?
Panera Bread, I believe.
Panera Bread, yeah. They've already set up, and they're in the process of doing automation to do away with the counter help.
Yeah.
So as you drive some of this stuff out and the mathematics come down to the point it's cheaper to automate than to increase, you have a problem. And I do believe in a lot of ways when we're talking about this industry, it used to be a tipping thing, and I do believe it's a little bit of the fact that we're going to get some tax dollars out of this when we create the minimum wage, raise the rate, everybody gets a piece of it, and by the end of it, the guy that actually, or the gal that's actually working for the buck, probably isn't seeing all that more of that buck with an increase on it. And not that I know anybody that makes less than $10 an hour in the industry, but I'm sure there are out there. I'm just, my feelings on this is that we're going to be putting a lot of kids out of work, and there won't be jobs for these kids. And the kids who used to pump gas aren't there. Once again, the kids who pump the ice cream aren't going to be there, things of that nature. I think we need to really look at this before, you know, you kill the goose that lays the golden egg.
Well, thank you very much, Bill. I think there's a really legitimate concern in there. If we do add on, I mean, there's a tendency, there's a trend toward automation and toward fewer workers doing the jobs. Are we inadvertently accelerating that trend by increasing the cost pressures on business?
Well, you know, I think you raise a good point about unintended consequences, and what you said about the paycheck ending up not quite as large as they think it's going to be because it's taxed and all of that reminds me about some of the testimony that the House heard about raising the minimum wage on people who are currently working, low-income workers who are receiving state benefits, food stamps, or housing assistance, and that if you there's a danger with increasing the minimum wage to a point where they no longer qualify for the benefits, but yet they still don't actually have enough money to really be able to afford all this stuff on their own. And so that's another example of a kind of tricky situation that you have to look at when you're talking about raising wages. It's not quite as simple as just pay people more and everything will be fine. There are ripple effects throughout the economy.
So what do you do about that? Or is that up to the policymakers to figure that out?
I think they're working on that. I know it's definitely something that's been part of the conversations.
Yeah. I was reading about the White House summit, and one account of the summit noted that the burden of work-family balancing falls mainly on women. I thought we were gender neutral these days. that obviously speaks to your work at the Commission on Women.
That's right. Women are disproportionately affected by having to take care of family responsibilities. Women are more likely to be the ones to take care of children, to take care of aging parents or aging relatives. They're more likely to work part-time or take time out of the workforce entirely, which contributes to the overall wage gap that we see between men and women. So it's not just a matter of being paid less for the same work, which does happen sometimes, but it's also over the course of a lifetime, a woman is likely to earn less money because she's taken these breaks from work, she's taken time out. But you know what we're finding is that men are starting to really feel that squeeze as well, and a lot of workplaces are not very supportive of men taking time to go to their parent-teacher conference or their soccer game or something. That men can do that a little bit, and often people think, oh, well, isn't that sweet? You know, he's taking care of his kids. But if they do it on a regular basis, there's actually real danger that they're going to be viewed as not taking their job seriously, not being as committed. And so it's really something that affects men as well as women.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for coming in on the morning after your flight back from Washington. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Carrie Brown, of the Executive Director of the Vermont Commission on Women, just back from the White House Summit on Working Families. Coming up in the next hour, Chris Pearson, State Representative and head of the Progressive Party Caucus, will talk about the Progressive Party's prospects in the 2014 election and beyond. That's next hour on The Mark Johnson Show. On the stations of Radio Vermont, WDEV 96.1 FM in Waterbury, Montpelier, 96.5 in Barrie, Northeast Kingdom 101.9 FM in Island Pond, and the original friendly Pioneer 550 on your good old AM radio dial. The time is 10 o'clock.